Straight Talk Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. The weather is wonderful. The summer weather continues. Later on the show, we're going to talk to Allison Reese, who's from Killshaw's Auctions, and we're going to talk about some great finds that you can get at her auctions. Also, Michelle from The Lunch Kit is going to talk about Thanksgiving and what you can do with all those leftovers. But I'm so excited. My first guest is Venice A. Fulton. His book is 6 Weeks to OMG. Get Skinnier Than All Your Friends. Don't you love that title? I was on holiday this summer, and I saw this book, and I had to buy it because I just love the title. And I read it, and it was funny, so well written. I love the style, and I get to talk to him today. Hi, Venice. How are you?
Hi, Patty. Thank you for having me. I'm very well, thank you.
It's wonderful to talk to you. Venice is joining us from London, England. How cool is that? And Venice, your book is so great. And what I like about it is if you've been a sort of a lifelong dieter, and especially in the middle years, you've heard it all, done it all, and this is such a different approach. And you talk about the people in the nutrition industry talking and the trainers about all the little snacks you should have. And I think you're right that we've been given the wrong information. Tell us about your plan, Venice, and how you came about writing this book.
Well, I mean, thank you for reading it as well, because, you know, a lot of people don't actually get past the title or the subtitle itself. The reason I did write it is because, as a sports scientist, you know, I was aware of research which we really weren't using, and instead we were relying on some really old scientific cliches.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, if you know, actually at any age, a lot of people have been through so many diets, and the truth is, diets per se don't work. Diets are crap. You know, we can't keep going up and down like Oprah throughout life. It's not good psychologically, you know. So I decided to put everything that I was using privately with my clients into a book, into one place, and I just published it as an ebook, thinking it would just sit there, and it kind of took off bit by bit, and then really took off probably due to the fact that it contains some controversial things. I don't find them controversial. In fact, the real controversy is that we find them controversial. But
and like you say, success will tell you, don't worry about what people say. If you're getting results, do not worry about it. You give a lot of coaching tips in this book to kind of get people along. And I think you give hope to people who may feel hopeless, especially in this obese nations that we live in these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you picked up on the kind of lifestyle, life coaching feel to the book. I didn't intentionally write it as that. I just, you know, from working with people, I realized that people have feelings, and you can't bombard them with information and not consider their feelings and not consider the questions that they're probably asking but are too embarrassed to ask. And I just wanted to cover all of those areas, because success when it comes to losing body fat is so much in the mind, in terms of, you know, being told what to do is really very limited, and barking at someone only works as long as you're actually barking at them. And when you know, as a trainer, I know that when I go away, people go back to what they want unless they really understand stuff, unless they've really been sort of dealt with sensitivity, and it's a crucial factor that many people ignore.
And in your book, you explain what a carb is, what things are that I'd never even thought about before. Kind of break down, Venice, the kind of key points behind your diet, starting with, and it's not really a diet, it's sort of a lifestyle. I'm not sure how long you use it for. You have 6 weeks, but I'm sure it's something that carries on. What are some of the basic principles behind it?
I mean, the overall principle, it was the kind of the pre-principle, is understanding. You know, I want to break everything down into simple stuff so that everyone becomes an expert. That's a principle in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the overall physiological principle is to get your body using its, living off its own structure. Now, that sounds scary and horrible, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's basically becoming more dependent on body fat as a fuel for everyday life than the food that we chuck in to ourselves every day. And I'm not saying don't like food, because food is one of the few pleasures in life for us at the moment. And it's certainly not about restricting. It's about choosing the right stuff. So I kind of, everything is based on that idea. So you'll find that waking up in the morning and moving early is a very important thing to do. Delaying your breakfast. You know, I write a chapter in the book called Skipping Breakfast, which is certainly to get attention, but the idea is that you delay your breakfast and you start to live off your own body fat as a fuel, going back to old-fashioned three meals a day is very important. Having fruits and vegetables by all means, especially vegetables, but be careful with fruit because too much is can cause problems. I mean, I'm skipping over the science behind it because there's a lot of stuff. But
yeah, you have to pick up the book because there's a lot of good reading in that. Also, it's kind of like the caveman kind of diet, isn't it, where you talk a lot about how we didn't always have breakfast there waiting for us in the morning. We can use that stored fat to go out and look for our food.
Absolutely. It's one of the things which has kind of angered many of my colleagues, the whole skipping breakfast thing, because people will literally turn around and say, how comes no other book or expert has recommended this? And, you know, I will turn around and say, well, the current recommendations clearly aren't working.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, you know, I don't mean to be insulting, but clearly what we're doing generally doesn't work. And the whole breakfast thing is something that very few people have ever questioned. You know, certainly when you first delay your breakfast or skip breakfast, whatever you call it, it's hard because we're so used to having breakfast early on. Mm-hmm. But after a while, your body gets used to it. And when you wake up in the morning and move before you eat, you truly teach your body how to live off its own structure and in fact, live up to its ancient design.
And with that, you have a couple of cups of coffee. And you don't put milk in it because that kind of alerts the body that food might be coming. So you want them black, and that helps start the engine running.
Absolutely. Caffeine tells your body fat cells to open up and release their contents into the blood so that you use more body fat as a fuel. Now, some people don't like coffee. You don't have to have coffee, and you could even have caffeine pills, but you might not like taking pills. You don't have to do any one thing in the book, but I kind of like the idea that you can actually pick and choose because we are all so different. You know, you live in Victoria, I live in London. The world is very different all over, but there are universal things we can all do. You can pick and choose. And be flexible and choose what works for you.
So Venice, you don't have to do everything because, you know, I've been trying the coffee in the morning thing and, you know, I'm feeling much better and lost a bit of the pooch. And, you know, I think there's something to it, definitely. So if you're not ready because you do have a colder bath or a colder shower, you can have that also will get your engine running because you have to burn some. We'll have to explain how that works.
Well, if you dip in your body into cold water, it definitely doesn't like it. And it likes to keep the body's temperature constant. If you make it cold, and cold water does it very quickly, it ramps up your metabolism to increase heat production. And some of that heat you lose and some of that heat loss comes from stored calories. And that effect can last 12 to 15 hours. And even doing that one thing in some people, it's enough to turn their whole body around because it's their metabolism is their weak point. In fact, most people's metabolisms are pretty normal, even overweight people. But in some people, it definitely is the turning point. And that is one of many things in the book that you can do, but you don't have to do. You know, some people don't even own a bath, and I never even thought about that when I wrote the book. I presumed that everyone had a bath in the world.
And Venice, is it true, though, as you get older, like your metabolism slows down, so this might be something that can rev everything up again and get it going because it's harder as you get older to lose weight?
Yeah, well, there's a kind of truth and untruth in that. Mm. Definitely, in most people, the metabolism seems to drop, but it's kind of chicken and egg, which comes first. Often it's our lifestyle that changes, and then the physiology changes to cover following the lifestyle changes. What I'm saying is, there isn't a real strong reason for us to suddenly kind of get huge as we tip over 30. A lot of that is an excuse. And in fact, I've seen some incredible 30, 40, 50, 60. I've seen an incredible 100-year-old. We have a guy in London who runs marathons. He's the oldest marathon runner in the world. And I'm not saying he's used my book. Certainly he never has. He doesn't actually read English. He's from India. But some of the principles are very similar. And so there really are no age limits. But yes, the cold bath, if your metabolism is feeling a bit sluggish, if you think that could be a thing, then cold bath. And it's cold, not ice.
Right.
Especially not in Canada.
Well, we're warm over here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the recipes or no recipes in the book.
Give us 10 minutes, and we'll give you the world. Victoria's first choice for information, news that matters. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Come on, roar, you lions, roar.
Tires Burgers BC Lions Football.
Brought to you by Dumont Tirecraft and Irwin Industries.
Today, the BC Lions on the road again as they take on the Riders in Saskatchewan. Kickoff at 7. Right here on CFAX 1070.
Join Rick Vall and Julio Garavetta for Vera's Burgers BC Lions Football on the Lions Radio Network all season long.
Do you want cash today? Do you want cash for your car? Do you want $4,000 cash in your pants? Bring your vehicle to Galaxy Motors and they'll pay up to $4,000 cash on your trade-in. Up to $4,000 for your nice car, grandpa car, broken car, rusted lawn decoration, bylaw breaking clunker of a car. Cash for Clunkers pays you cash today till Sunday only. After tomorrow, they stop paying cash and start paying with air fresheners. So get cash today during Cash for Clunkers at Galaxy Motors. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Hi, my name is Dominique. As I approached my last birthday, I decided to book a consultation at DermaSpa to learn about preventative actions I could take. Through a series of microdermabrasion treatments, coupled with the Obagi skincare line, I not only took preventative steps, but also noticed the changes in my skin tone and texture were amazing. Thanks to DermaSpa, my skin looks and feels incredible every day.
At DermaSpa, it's all about you. Book a no-obligation consultation with one of the DermaSpa skin experts. Visit them at 1830 Oak Bay Avenue or online at dermaspa.ca.
The biggest furniture liquidation sale of 2012 continues. Generation Furniture preparing to close its doors forever. The complete liquidation of Generation Furniture's 40,000 square foot showroom saves you up to 70%. New and exceptional furniture arriving daily as the warehouse empties for a final time. Now's the time to get the new furniture you've always wanted at a fraction of what you thought you'd pay. Everything has been discounted up to 70%. Every item at Generation Furniture must be sold as this store closes forever. Generation Furniture, Langford Parkway behind the West Shore Mall.
Welcome back. I'm so excited to have Benesay Fulton here. His book is 6 Weeks to OMG, Get Skinnier Than All Your Friends. It's a bestseller. It's sweeping the nation. And Venice, I want to talk to you. You don't give recipes in the book, which I can completely understand, but I want to know kind of what your day looks like, how you live, and when you eat, and what you eat.
Well, the first thing is, yeah, I didn't put recipes in the book. It was self-published as an e-book. And finally, when I met publishers, they were like, where are the recipes? What's missing? And I'd written a chapter called Recipe for Disaster, and the reason they're not in there is because I believe that that's so prescriptive and kind of condescending in a way, telling you what you must eat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great while you're reading that stuff and while you can make these fancy recipes, but as soon as you run out of stuff, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of treating food as if certain foods are magic and certain foods aren't, and that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
So for myself, I mean, I would say, and this is the real honest truth, I do about 80% of the things in the book all the time. I don't do all of the things in my own book. You know, sometimes life gets in the way of stuff, and I want to make that clear that it's not about, you know, I'm not a guru who says it's 100% or nothing. That's simply not true. But on an average day, I will always wake up and walk first thing in the morning, and I leave a gap. And then for breakfast, it depends. I mean, I call it breakfast because ultimately you are breaking your fast, which will be a couple of hours later. I will probably have a small amount of fruit, and I will probably have some yogurt or some natural yogurt and possibly a protein shake because I'm a sports science guy. I still do lots of other training.
Mm-hmm.
For my other meals, I only have 3 meals a day. I say only. See, even I'm brainwashed into still using the word only. I have 3 meals a day, and all of the meals, without being too prescriptive, they will always have roughly half of the meal will be a chunk of protein of some kind. The other half will be vegetables, some grains, a small amount. I mean, you can go really deep into food science and talk about, are grains good for you? Is wheat good for you? Are certain vegetables good for you? And it can get so complicated and so boring. The main thing I say to people is, like my meals, roughly half of your plate, try and aim for a food which is mainly protein because that's very good at reducing your appetite. And it also builds your hair, skin, and your nails, which, mm-hmm. you know, every woman loves that. But for guys as well, it's crucial. We generally don't eat enough protein. And the rest of your plate needs to be a mix of, you know, Mother Nature's gifts, which are things like vegetables, some fruit, and the grains, if you like grains, that you enjoy. again, as I say, you can get so precise about things like your listeners might be aware of things like glycemic index or glycemic load and all these complicated things, acid-alkali balance. Most of that stuff is great, but in everyday life, it's almost too complicated for us to kind of get our heads around and practically use.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, I most of the stuff is general guidelines, and it does sound wishy-washy. That fits well with most people's lives in terms of letting them be the expert and fine-tuning what works for them.
That's really true, Venice. And I think, you know, so if you say, you know, you don't have to give up every carb, but try and limit it because you don't have to have them, but have some, you know, a little bit with your dinner or whatever, but not the massive amounts we've been known to have.
Yeah, the carb thing in our diet is, you know, gone through so many cycles with all the famous kind of... we have had Atkins who raised the awareness of low carbs and took it to quite an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Ducan, a French guy, and similar thing.
And now we have you.
And we have me. I hope I'm a voice of balance, because zero carbs definitely are ineffective in as much as 99% of humans cannot live like that. Even if they physiologically can,
yeah. They
can't psychologically. It's just damn boring. High-carb diets are completely unnecessary. We tend to overeat carbs. There is a happy medium to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main ways to find that is to actually focus on other stuff, which is increasing your protein content. And again, that doesn't mean it's a high-protein diet, because most of us have very low protein to start with. It's just about a balance. As bland as that sounds.
And what about snacks? I know it's three meals a day. What if you ever are tempted to have a snack at night? Is there anything that's on plan for that? Or is that just conditioning?
It's mainly conditioning. I mean, if you should be able to balance your blood sugar by eating about three times a day. And the concept of small, frequent meals, which is kind of pushed by sports scientists and even doctors now, is... really has no sense in it at all. You know, to say eat six small meals a day to balance your blood sugar is a complete nonsense. If you can't do it on three, you certainly can have you're going to struggle with six. You end up eating more in general.
Yes.
So I say in the book there's no such thing as a healthy snack, because a lot of foods are deliberately targeting the idea of a healthy snack.
That's
it
true.
Doesn't matter what a food is made of. If it keeps flooding your body with blood sugar, you never live off your own structure. Having said all of that, you know, there will be times, random times in life, when you want to grab something. And I think the same principles apply for all the other meals. You know, go easy on the carbs. Go for something which is, ironically, something taboo, which was taboo, things which are slightly higher in fat, assuming they're natural fats. Things like nuts. You know, people for years have said, don't have nuts. They're so unhealthy. They've got so much fat. Don't eat an avocado. It's so full of fat. Fat has had such a terrible name.
Yeah.
There are so many great foods which we've kind of discounted for the wrong reasons. But ideally, ditch the concept of snacks and stick to meals, because they're so much more social as well.
That's true. And green tea is also really good for you.
Green tea is great. That actually can really help you control your appetite. It also directly boosts your metabolism. It's fairly low in caffeine, depending on what kind of green tea brand that you buy. And it's a great kind of alternative if you absolutely can't stand coffee. And having said that, there are people who can't stand coffee or green tea, and that's fair enough as well.
They're in trouble then.
Well, then, you know, they just have to live in a cold bath.
We don't want to know them, right?
We don't want to know.
And more than 6 weeks, can you keep going on this? Is it sort of a life plan that you can follow, and do you follow it the same kind of way, like the coffee in the morning and the movement and the breakfast at a certain time?
Yeah, as I said, most of the stuff I do most of the time. That's the honest answer. Can you do it for 6,000 weeks, whatever that works out to be? Yes, you can, because the reason I wrote 6 weeks as a title is because everyone asks for a specific kind of time-related goal. They want to achieve something in a fixed amount of time, and I had to kind of make the book sexy to get people interested, because they are so overloaded with information. But certainly, you know, people have asked me, can you do this for longer? Yes. Can men do it? Yes. All these different things. The basic human principles apply for all of our lives, no matter what age we are, no matter what sex, ethnicity, or even genes, you know. These things really do work across the board.
And I like how you talk about, too, how we know what we need to lose. We can look in the mirror, see ourselves, get that pair of old jeans that used to fit. That can be your target. You know, some things we know already, but that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's why your book really hits home with a lot of people.
I hope so, yeah. And I want to bring the power back to the individual. Instead of relying on things like doctor's charts and weighing scales, you don't have to, or be body mass index, these things, you know, we don't have to rely on these very artificial measures that, which most of us don't actually understand.
That's really true. We think we do. Hey, how is your life now with this fame? You're on the Today Show. You're on everything these days. It's the book of the year. How does it feel with all this fame? Does it change things for you, or are you the same guy?
I'm completely the same guy, which is, I won't describe what that real guy is, but I will say that it was a real surprise because it was an e-book, you know, self-published at the end of December last year, and I took it off immediately because there were tons of spelling mistakes and errors, put it back in mid-January and expected nothing. And then the newspapers picked up on it and people were buying it. I think I sold about 120,000, 150,000 self-published e-copies, which is a lot in 3 or 4 months. And then publishers got involved, and of course it's brought attention to do with the book's title and people thinking I've made lots of money. But the people who literally around me know that it was written as a self-published ebook, and I was selling it for 99 cents at one point. You know, I was not trying to make money out of it.
Well, good things happen to good people. 6 weeks to OMG, get skinnier than all your friends of NSA Fulton. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope people listening today that have struggled can pick this up and, you know, get some use out of it and get back to health. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Okay. Cheers. Take good care, Venice. Have a great night.
You too.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Michelle from Lunch Kit.
It's time for more speedy tips from Speedy Auto's Mike and Kim.
Mike, a friend just bought a new car. She's wondering if she's required to take it into the dealership for service.
Absolutely not. Speedy Auto is a warranty-approved shop, so we can do any type of service and maintenance that the dealerships can do, but we do it for a lot less. Tell all your friends to bring their cars into Speedy Auto for warranty work. No appointment necessary, and we'll give them an honest assessment.
Because it's Speedy, you're a Summit. Speedy Auto, 2992 Douglas Street, south of Mayfair, 385-8717.
Last call at the Jersey Shore. It's the final season, and they're going out with a bang.
I love drinking during the day.
Mike is going to show all of us his old profession, stripping.
They've gone from strangers.
I just don't want to be friends with you.
Forever?
Yeah.
To friends.
Yo, am I supposed to knock when I come into this house?
To family.
Nicole is knocked up and Dean is locked up.
Resting is not fun.
Jersey Shore, the final season. Catch the special 2-hour premiere Thursday at 10, only on MTV.
Party's here.
It's 11:30. This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. The news begins right now.
It is partly cloudy, 16 degrees downtown. Good morning, I'm Kyle Reynolds. The premiers of both BC and Alberta will meet on Monday to discuss their positions on the proposed Northern Gateway pipeline. Christy Clark will voice her environmental concerns about the plan to build a twin pipeline to move crude from Alberta to northwestern BC for shipment to Asia. Clark also wants a bigger slice of the revenue pie to offset what she says is the increased environmental risk for her province, something Alberta's Alison Redford has said she will not discuss. Public Safety Minister Vic Taves has confirmed that Omar Khadr is back in Canada. Khadr spent almost a decade in the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay for war crimes committed as a 15-year-old in Afghanistan. Canadian press reporter Scott Edmonds says Taves made a very brief statement this morning to reporters in Winnipeg.
It lasted only about 3 minutes, and he said he's returning to Canada. In fact, he has returned to Canada. He landed at Trenton and is being transferred to Millhaven.
Khadr had been eligible to return to Canada since last October under a plea bargain deal. Just days after the world was exposed to a topless Kate Middleton by a scandalous paparazzo, the same cameraman's work is now being seen in a Danish magazine, this time with the Duchess of Cambridge, sans clothing from head to toe. Reporter Jeffrey Kaufman says the royal couple is so far being mum about the pics.
William and Kate returned from their Asian tour 9 days ago. They haven't been seen in public since. They have always
fiercely guarded their privacy, and you can bet they'll be guarding it even more ferociously from now on. And we just got a response from the palace about all this. They're not commenting, as you'd expect, but they are leaving open the option of suing that Danish magazine.
The latest pictures have been rocketing across the internet. And Iraqi officials say the Al-Qaeda-linked militants who escaped from a prison in Saddam Hussein's hometown yesterday had help from the inside. The Interior Ministry says there was clear collusion between some guards and inmates, and the prison chief in the province has been fired. Scores of prisoners are still at large. After the news at 11 o'clock this morning, we called the number listed for the Carter residence. We did not get a correct answer to our newsmaker question, though, so we'll try again after the news at noon today, and our prize will be $146 from the Renaissance Retirement Residence, The Art of Living Well. And a quick look at CFAX weather now. A mix of sun and cloud for the most part today. High of 18 degrees, a few clouds overnight with a low of 8. I'm Kyle Reynolds. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's 11:33.
Now, Straight Talk. Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back. We're talking about yummy, yummy food. Michelle Scromita and Gwyneth Anderson are from the Lunch Kit. If you haven't been there yet, you must go. It's downtown on Douglas Street. Michelle, welcome to the show. Do I have both of you on the line?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Gwyneth. And you guys have got something on at noon, I know, and I'm glad you took the time to join us. I was there yesterday at the Lunch Kit, which I often go to, and TJ was just saying he was there last week and had the beef with the crispy onions. Your food is fantastic. Where do you come up with these ideas, and how come it's so exceptionally good?
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. We just kind of brainstorm, try things out, see what tastes good together, and if it works, it works, and we run with it, put it on the menu.
Well, it's a great business plan. You have a really nice space on Douglas. You're open for the lunch hours, and you're kind of a real hit downtown. People love coming there because it's good food that's well prepared. The other thing you had yesterday was the mushroom. Now, what do you call that, mushroom sandwich?
Yeah, it was like a open-faced chicken sandwich on sourdough with grilled mushrooms, caramelized onions, and then a miso gravy.
Oh, my God. And then you had the mushroom soup, which also, is there a hit of wine in that? Or?
Yes.
Oh, so good. The combination of a soup and sandwich is so good. With Thanksgiving coming up, you guys make a turkey sandwich. Give us sort of the rundown on how to make the perfect leftover turkey sandwich.
Honestly, I like it really simple. Good homemade bread is good. I like butter, mayonnaise, and lettuce. The leftover turkey.
No cranberry or anything else?
Me personally, no. But anybody can do whatever they like, obviously.
Now, what do you have at the Lunch Kit? What's your turkey sandwich?
We actually just do roasted chicken.
Oh, roasted chicken.
We don't do turkey, but... we roast the chickens whole, and they're from Vancouver Island, and we put a bit of lemon juice, olive oil, salt, pepper, roast them up, some rosemary, roast them up, and then we just put, we do like a chicken club, and, you know, with a hot chicken cranberry sandwich with Swiss.
And what about soups? Now, you know, I've bought them before. I've tinned. I've made the odd soup. What is the trick to doing a soup? Are they hard to make, or is it something, you know, that's not that difficult?
Too difficult. I don't know. What do you think, Gwen? It's not too difficult. It's just getting the right flavors. Yeah. And it's always good to do like flavor layering kind of. So we start out with a homemade stock that we use all the chicken bones. And then that gets a lot of nice flavor to build on top of after that.
Now, when it comes to a cream like yesterday, what would be in that kind of a soup? I know you don't want to give all your trade secrets, but how would you make that kind of a mushroom soup with the creamy base?
Well, I just start out with a roux, so that's just some butter and some flour, and I put some roasted garlic in there and just sort of saute it up and then start adding the mushrooms, and then you just add cream, and away you go. Put the wine in, and wine at the end is makes it.
You see, people that are real great cooks, they, oh, yeah, just like that, a roux, okay. So a roux is your basic for everything then?
Well, for a cream soup, yeah.
For
I don't
a cream
do soup. If it's like a brothy soup.
Okay, and so for a turkey soup, you would use the bones, boil it up. Do you put stuff in with the turkey bones to give flavor?
Yeah, absolutely. We throw in some onions, celery, carrots, peppercorn, bay leaf. Yeah. I mean, you could really put anything, whatever flavors you like in there. You can make a little, like, herb pouch or something and throw that in there.
So it's really worthwhile to save that turkey bone. Like, a lot of people don't. But it's you just boil it for, like, how many hours before you have that stock?
Well, we do it overnight. So, if you don't want to leave it overnight, you can give it a good four hours is probably good enough.
And then what are your classics you put in your turkey soup or chicken soup?
Just a few veggies. I like carrots, onions, peas. Noodles sometimes.
Kind of put the kitchens or the fridge in there, right? If you have leftover anything, you kind of add it to it as it goes on?
Yep. And then lemon is always good, too. It just sort of freshens it up and gives it a nice fresh flavor.
And what about turkey, your meal at your houses? What kind of staples are beside the turkey? What kind of vegetables, what kind of sides do you do?
Usually I do like a sweet potato with brown sugar on top, just yams and... I don't know, I've kind of mixed it up over the years. I used to do the more traditional stuff, but now I kind of do like nice lighter salads, do like a quinoa salad and a Caesar salad or something like that, but always roasted potatoes. Stuffing. Definitely stuffing.
So you really do mix it up because a lot of people don't do salads with their meal, but I guess, you know, you don't have to stick to the tried and true all the time.
No, and also we do a deep-fried turkey every year, too.
Oh, how do you do that? My husband's been talking about it.
A specific apparatus for that, but I don't know how healthy it is, but it's delicious.
And it's a little dangerous, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
You think so? You do it outside, obviously, right?
Yeah, it's out on the deck, and we have, like, a giant boiler, and it's on, like, its own little stand with a gas line to it. So
you don't want to drink too much wine while you're doing that because you can't forget about that turkey or you're in big trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
So how many hours would it be deep frying for?
Oh, like 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. And so is it really moist inside?
Oh, my God, it's so good. And we take, like, a turkey injector, and we put butter, like, melted butter and some Cajun spices, and we just inject it right into the meat.
Oh, wow.
The skin gets so crispy, and it just seals in all the flavor and the juices. It's awesome.
I think you can market that. That sounds amazing. I've never heard of that before.
It's so good.
Wow.
And we do a roasted turkey, too. So we have options if people aren't into the deep-fried turkey.
Okay, we're going to your house. So tell everybody about your place and where you're located and what kind of hours you have, Michelle and Gwyneth.
We're on 1310 Douglas Street, and we're open Monday to Friday, 9 until 4. Fridays, sometimes we close at 3, just so everybody knows. Yeah.
And you have the best food there. And if people haven't tried it, make sure you come in. And you also do some catering.
Yeah, we do a lot of office catering for, like, the local businesses around, lots of law firms, banks, investment firms, stuff like that. And they just have lots of lunch meetings, and we do up trays of sandwiches for them,
dessert trays, drinks.
Yeah.
How about that soup? If I wanted to get some of that mushroom soup in bulk, can I do that? And then I can take it home and tell people I made it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to do that for sure. Great talking to you guys. You have fun today.
Thank you so much.
And you be good.
Yeah, we'll
when we come back, we're going to talk to Allison Ross from Killshaws.
Victoria's first choice for information, news, weather, traffic. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection, brought to you by Saffron Window Fashions.
Good morning. This is Lisa with the CFAX team. I'm out at UVic today helping celebrate its 50th anniversary. Can you believe it? Everyone is invited to the anniversary celebration. It's going on until 4 o'clock, so if you don't get to it this morning, not to worry. You've still got all afternoon to check it out. Tons of stuff going on here today. There's a performance stage here, and this afternoon there'll be some live entertainment going on until 4. Also, there'll be a history in art open house going on until 4 in the Fine Arts Building. Visit this lobby display to learn about the 46-year legacy of the History and Art Department and the current faculty research symposium on the arts and social change. That's going on in the Fine Arts Building lobby. So lots going on today. We'll be here all afternoon under the CFAX tent in front of UVic's library. We've got lots of free stuff we're giving out, so come on over and say hi. That's your Community Connection, brought to you by Saffron Windows, Fashion Drapery and Blinds on CFAX 1070.
Shop with confidence at Save On Foods. We're priced right. Jumbo yams. Cart price, only 49 cents a pound. Or assorted varieties of stovetop stuffing mix. 120 grams. Cart price, just 99 cents each. Plus, for exclusive offers on products you want, sign up at SaveOnFoods.com. Save On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
Hello, Victoria. Fall is upon us. You can save big at Windsor Plywood because our prices are falling to match the season. 12-millimeter laminate flooring in 10 delicious colors, only $1.98 a square foot. These snap-in click floors made in Europe are ideal for DIY projects. And to cap it off, we have quiet walk underlay. Environmentally friendly, priced at only $48.88 per roll. Meets all strata council requirements and adds warmth to boot. Come on down to Windsor Plywood on Keating Crossroad and on Van Ar Way in Langford. We want you to walk on our floors.
We are back with the one and only Terry Moore. He's a pro. Everybody knows him, and he's graced us with his presence, and he is a great cook.
Wait. I'm checking under the table here. Did somebody throw you some nickels? What's going on here? All right.
And you didn't bring your book, because I'm going to get that next week.
No. But actually, my producer from last week has got one copy of it.
Oh, okay.
It may be in her office, but
What's the office called?
It's called Toothpaste and Peanut Butter. Now, the next question is, why did I call it
that?
Why'd you call
it that?
I heard you calling this one over here 6 weeks OMG.
I know.
Well, you see, I used to do a household hint show, which many people may not know, but I did. I did it for years, okay? I did it in Calgary. I did it in Vancouver when I was working over there at the old CJOR and CKWX and so on. The reason we called it Toothpaste and Peanut Butter is because that if you have a problem with a stainless steel fridge, okay, or a very nice glazed finish refrigerator, sink, whatever, and stains end up on these things, and people say, "Oh man, I tried everything and I can't get it off." Try toothpaste.
Really?
Toothpaste will take it right off. Stainless steel, it works great. I'm not telling you to use a lot of the stuff that's got the high grit in it nowadays, you know, which is the material that that you'll find in a lot of these whitener toothpaste. You know, they have far more gritty chalk in them than
everything.
Is normal. No, I don't.
You do?
No.
So you don't want to use that?
No, ask my wife.
Yeah.
She'll tell you. No, he doesn't. Anyway,
the lovely Ramona.
Yeah. So what you do is, and you use the toothpaste in that. Then peanut butter. You got a dog?
Yeah.
Okay. So when your dog gets bubblegum on it or sticky stuff off the trees or whatever, you take a little peanut butter and you rub it into the fur and you can just peel it right out. Just pull it straight through and it'll come right out. Now, you can use oil. You can use olive oil, canola oil, whatever you want to do. But the oil is the thing that removes the gum and the sticky stuff in the fur. The kids' hair, when they get their bubblegum in there, it'll come right out. No problem whatsoever.
We're going to come have that book on talk about it. I want to know your lightning turkey recipe because you said last week when you came in and said, I got a recipe for you.
Yeah, I hear people roasting turkeys starting it in the morning like at 250 degrees, you know, or whatever it may be. I have a recipe. Do you want to do it today or should we do it next week or do it for Christmas? Do you want to do it
Well, what
now?
Do you think?
Well, we'll do it because of Thanksgiving. Okay. I have a method, and it's not all my method, but it's partly my method, and it's called lightning turkey. And it's actually I learned it in Alberta from some people in Alberta, Ukrainian families who do it. And my son, of course, is a chef. And I checked it out with him, and he said, absolutely. He said, this is the way we do it, Dad. He says, we roast them at this degree. You roast your turkey. Now, I'm glad you're sitting down because are you crazy? 425 degrees. Now, I've cut that back. I do it at 400 degrees. What you do is you take your turkey and you blanch it in boiling water. You take a kettle of boiling water and you pour it all over the bird. And you'll see the skin tighten, okay?
Wow.
And then you pour it on the inside of the cavity. That way you kind of sanitize the cavity. When you do your stuffing and... Please keep this in mind, listener. When you do your stuffing, wrap it in cheesecloth and tie it off and then stick it into the bird. Don't put it in there, raw and so on. Because when you have the cheesecloth in and the turkey is cooked, you can pull the whole thing right out.
Beauty.
It just comes right out. Now, we use a sausage meat
and oatmeal and so on, and onions and sage and so on. My wife, being a celiac, we don't use bread anymore in it, unless we use rice bread. But we do use oatmeal. Oatmeal, and you can use rice. Rice is great. Mm-hmm. But what you end up with is this fabulous meatloaf-style kind of a stuffing with all the great turkey juices in it and so on. I heard your guest last week saying that he deboned the turkey. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that, but then you lose all that fabulous flavor. And don't tell me you can just take the bones and braise them off while the turkey is roasting and so on, because it doesn't taste the same. It doesn't have that same great...
wasn't the way God made it to be.
Well, it's got to have the sage and the onions and all that sort of thing in there, and you got to get that flavor through so you can make that gravy, okay?
Right.
So what you do when you blanch the turkey... cool it off in cold water, and then you put in your stuffing that you've put into the muslin bag or whatever you want to do, and then you put it on a rack inside your roasting pan, and then you build a tent of heavy-duty aluminum foil right over the entire bird. You crimp it down on the edges. Leave some space between the top of the bird so it doesn't burn. And you don't have to butter it, and you don't have to oil it if you don't want to.
Right.
But you build this tent, and you make sure that you seal it up as much as possible and crimp it around the edges of the roasting pan. Put it into your oven at about 400 degrees and do your timing on it. It's about 12 Perfection. Minutes per pound.
Are you listening, Hudson? He's the cook.
Oh, Hudson.
Yeah.
He's Hudson, pal, listen. Hudson, you buy the turkey and I'll do the cooking, okay? So that's it. We'll come back and we'll do it again.
Around for a minute. Sure. I've got Allison Rawson here from Killshaw's Auctioneers. How are you, Allison?
I'm doing great, Patty. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Now, you know, our new obsession, Terry, is Killshaw's Auctioneers. My
mom
went when I
They're
was
fabulous.
Growing up, and our house was furnished there. Allison, you're the owner of Killshaw's, and you've got to stop us because our house is so full, but I love all the stuff. It's an amazing find, and I've been telling everybody who will sit still long enough, you've got to go there.
Ask her about some of the stuff that she just sold. She did a show with me several months ago, and she had some fabulous things to sell.
So tell us about your place, Allison.
Well, Killshaw's has been in Victoria at this location on Fort Street since 1949, and I bought the business from the Killshaw family about 7 years ago. And we are, I think, a Victoria institution.
You sure are. And, you know, the people that are there, the furniture you find, it's everything is sort of rich with history. It's Our house now looks like a showroom from many different houses, but it's so cool. It's got great feel.
How many times have you moved?
We haven't. We've got a garage full of stuff. So I said we have a spring collection now. We bought a spring couch. We have a winter couch. It's getting kind of crazy.
Sounds
We're
like
going to be on Hoarders next.
Yeah,
but
good. Yeah,
Allison, there's some great finds there. I think people have a misconception that an auction is stuffy, that you have to know a lot, that it's expensive. You know, if you are wanting to furnish anybody's home to start with, silverware, Terry, the stuff that our moms had, $10. There's some great buys, Allison.
When I was in grad school in history and art, I really wanted some pretty things. But, you know, as a student, I couldn't afford it. And that's actually how I started at the auction, is I was a client coming in, and I was amazed. I now say that if it's ever been made, eventually it'll show up at the auction. So whether it's vintage, we see brand new things through as well. And I think that's something a lot of people don't realize about the auction. Everything from, a sofa produced in the last couple of months to Scandinavian modern design that's so popular, antiques, you name it, it all comes through.
Yeah, you had the antique auction last Thursday, right?
It was a collectible sale, so that's where you see some of the really fun modern pieces. And we had First Nations specialty section to that sale. So some fabulous Northwest Coast art, of course, where we're really lucky in this area to have that. But also we represented First Nations from around the world, including some really interesting Australian Aboriginal art.
When we come back, we'll talk to Allison about how it works and how you can start going to the auction every week. Back.
The Northern Gateway Project will create 3,000 jobs during peak construction and over 500 long-term jobs, all right here in British Columbia. It will generate over $1 billion in new tax revenue, strengthening public services in the province, and over $800 million will be spent on local goods and services. Northern Gateway, it's more than a pipeline, it's a path to our future. Learn more about the economic benefits for BC at northerngateway.ca.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer at Christmas. I worried it would be my last with my three girls. Thanks to research, I survived to watch them grow up to become women. You can't run from breast cancer, but you can run for it. That's why I'm running. The Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation, CIBC Run for the Cure, is Sunday, September 30th. Who are you running for?
Hi, my name's Amy, and I work at the Bottle Depot in Glenford, and I want a free coffee break for my staff from CFAX.
You needed a coffee break. Why?
Summer is really, really busy, so now that it's September, we're kind of winding down, and I think that all my staff deserve a coffee break.
Win a CFAX coffee break, delivered to your workplace by Level Ground Coffee, Fairway Markets, and CFAX 1070. So if you want to take a break from the workplace, meet some radio people, and drink great coffee, enter online at CFAX1070.com.
The whole family's coming for Thanksgiving, but you can handle it thanks to KitchenAid's Cook Up the Savings event at Lansdowne Appliance. Now through October 18th, save 10% on one or two KitchenAid major appliances. Save 15% on three and an amazing 20% on four or more qualifying major appliances from KitchenAid. Visit LansdowneAppliance.com and cook up the savings with KitchenAid at Lansdowne Appliance, 2517 Douglas at Bay.
Back with Allison Ross from Killshaw's Auctioneers. Now, if people want to know more, you have a website, Allison, they can go to that sort of lays out the stuff that you do. Tell us how to get a hold of you if they want to know more.
Well, our website is killshaws.com, K-I-L-S-H-A-W-S.com. Of course, we're in the phone book as well. I think the favorite way for people to get in touch with me is for them to come on into the sales room, because I think it's such a surprise. As you were saying, people aren't aware of all the things that are available at auction. We're not exclusively high-end, and we're not a low-end vendor either. So I think people are really surprised when they come in.
And I think, the things that you have there, like oak sideboards and tables and things that are so reasonable, and they are high quality and exceptional pieces, but the price you're getting them at can be amazing.
Well, right now, the trend is towards more contemporary design.
Yeah, the teak.
Yeah, exactly. Or even, things that you can walk into the store and buy today. So if you like traditional design, the auction is definitely a place to go and get some amazing bargains, particularly right now.
Oh, so you can walk in and buy some things off the floor, Allison?
No, we're exclusively an auction.
Exclusively auctions
are held every Thursday night. But what we do is, starting Saturday at 1 o'clock and then Monday through Thursday, we're open for people to come in and take a look around and see what's going to be up in the auction that week.
Okay. Now, what if you have an estate? I work for RE/MAX Cabosun, and I have a lot of clients who are downsizing and wonder what to do with their stuff. How would that work for them if they wanted to know more about appraising their goods?
The first step when people are downsizing is to get one of our auctioneer appraisers to come out and take a look at the items, because not everything that people own is going to be saleable at auction. Everybody has things in their home that just aren't going to sell on the secondary market, whether it's general kitchen glassware or dated upholstery. Mm-hmm. So we'll come out free of charge and take a look and let them know what's best to send into auction and what might be better to go to some of the great local charities.
Yeah, and that's always something to do too, right? Because you're passing it on to someone else if it doesn't work for sale.
Yeah, and we're all about recycling here, trying to keep things out of the landfill.
That's what's neat to see about it. It really is, because there's great things that who knows where they'd end up. And you also have a wonderful staff, Jeffrey, Roshan, Melanie. You know, they've been there a while. Everybody has a history with the place.
Yeah, most of the staff, actually, the senior staff, had been here before I bought Killshaw's, and we had all worked together. And I wouldn't have taken on the business if they hadn't been keen on staying with the company.
And it's been around since 1949. I think I went to Opie High with some of the Killshaw's. It's a rich history. How did it get started?
Killshaw's, the family, have been auctioneering since the late 18th century in England. Yeah, it may have been the oldest continuous auction family in the world. And so it was quite a big deal when Don Killshaw decided that he wanted to retire, and his family wasn't interested in continuing on the business. They had other passions of their own. So they opted to sell to somebody that they felt would continue on the tradition of honesty and integrity.
Now tell me, you must come across some really cool pieces that are worth more than people have thought. Do you have a couple of stories about any of those things that you found that are those little gems that they picked up and are worth more money?
Well, I always tell my clients when I'm at the house, I always say, oh, do you have anything in the basement? To which they often say, oh, you don't want to go down there. I, of course, say that's exactly where I want to go. But I do remember a few years ago, I was writing an estate appraisal for probating a will, and there was a really unusual portrait painting hanging on the wall, and there was no real information on the back. And so I, when we went to sell it, I had to do a fair bit of research, and it turned out it was a portrait of Tsar Alexander II, and it was painted by Johann Kohler, who's the father of Estonian painting, and was actually in the inner circle of the Tsar's family. He taught the children how to paint. And we sold that one for $80,000.
Oh, that must just send goosebumps up your back when you hear that, when you see a find like that and something that you're so interested in as well.
Actually really love doing all the research. I mean, that's very exciting to be able to discover something like that.
And they must have been pretty excited too.
Yeah, well, it was a surprise to everybody, which is always pleasant.
Well, I'd love to have you back on again, Allison, talk more about what's coming up at different auctions and some of the pieces and the jewelry and different things. So you'll have to come back and talk with us again on Lifestyle. If people want to know more, they're at 384-6441 or 1115 Fort Street. Stop by. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Allison, for being on the show today.
Thank you, Patty. That was great, and I'd love to come back, and we can talk about jewelry and get some ideas.
That would be lots of fun, lots of fun. I just want to do a quick promo here, too, for my friend John Donnelly. He's an event planner in Vancouver. He's doing the big Surrey Marathon tomorrow, and they're at www.surreymarathon.com. There's still room to get, if you want to go participate. It's going to be a great event. You can look that up and see. I hope it's a great day for John and all his runners. TJ, thank you so much. TJ was at the Mount Doug football game last night. He was our MC, did a great job. Is that what we call MC? Broadcaster. Yeah, sure. He was fabulous. Thank you, TJ, as always. Until we meet again, get out there and enjoy.